And if I take off the jacket. On Wednesday, I said that rabbis have to be normal, and therefore their Facebook page should have pictures of their children, a little bit things that get them excited, and of course, Divrei Torah, and that a rabbi is built of many different jobs. He's a father, he's a husband, he's also a rabbi, he's also a teacher, he is a professional, etc. And no one asked me the Shaila. And it's interesting, no one picked up on it around this table. I don't blame you. Rav Soloveitchik used to blame the students and say, how did you let me say this Narishkeit a week later? Because they were so convinced that he was correct, that a week later he said, throw it all out, and how did you let me say this Narishkeit? Well, you don't have to throw it all out, because I'm not that good as Rav Soloveitchik. I'm not so sure that I'm correct. I'm just 99.9% sure.
After you leave.
After you leave.
After you leave.
No, that's not. After I leave, you say it.
Yeah. Well, we say things.
Well, that's not very nice. You should say when I'm here so I can answer.
Not bad.
Oh, only good things. So anyway, the Shaila I was waiting for was that everything I said seems to go against the Mefurish Gemara. The Gemara darshens a pasuk about a rabbi being like a malach Hashem Tzfakot. And Chazal say explicitly, Im domel malach tilmat Torah befiu. If he's like an angel, you should learn Torah from him. Corollary of that is, if he's not an angel, no. So how do I say that rabbis are human beings and normal human beings and they should be normal human beings and their Facebook page should reflect it? He's supposed to be an angel.
What do angels look like?
An angel, obviously, is above and beyond reality. Whatever an angel is, he's not what I described. So how can it be that I come here and I say to you and I preach, no, rabbis have to be normal? Mefurish Gemara says otherwise. First of all, I want to say that's a good kasha. That's a good question. When I say it's a good question, I say I'm about to suggest an answer that I believe is correct, but I don't necessarily sign on the dotted line because it is a good kasha against my entire thesis that I presented to you on Wednesday. And you have to admit when there's a good shaila. And I'm not so sure the answer is as good as the question.
I have a suggestion.
Please.
I didn't hear the shir, but when you set it up, I would suggest possibly for himself, the person the way he views himself, he has to be a normal person. But because of his position, who he is in the community and society, he has to represent himself as if he was a malach.
Okay.
Online, sorry, just on Facebook.
The truth is that I understand your answer completely. On Wednesday, I said the opposite, that he shouldn't present himself as an angel. He should present himself as a normal human being, because then others have a chance. And I quoted a famous Egeret from Afutner saying that when they put out Gedolim books, they're making a huge error. They should say that the Gedolim fell over here and did this sin and that sin, and they still became a Gadol. And then you have a chance. But if they say their teeth are always white and their kippah never fell off their heads, then what chance do I have? My kippah fell off my head, and my teeth are not always white, and I did sin, so I have no chance, so forget it. So therefore, I hear your answer that he should present himself as a malach, but I personally don't agree, and I also think there's a little bit of gaiva there. If a guy goes around and says, I'm a malach, I don't know, I can't say I'm a malach. I tell you more than that. This shaila is a big one for me because I was privileged to sit under great rabbanim. I had great teachers. I don't know, I cannot say about any of them that they were angels. They were not angels. They had slips of the tongue, and they also sometimes got upset. We're human beings. So what does the Gemara mean? If the Rav is like a malach, learn Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu had sins, as we said on Wednesday. So what does it mean? I'd like to suggest something. I heard this many years ago from Rav Rakefet, who I consider one of my rabbeim. And I think it's really pshat in what the Gemara means. The Gemara does not mean that a rabbi is an angel because the rabbis are human beings, factually, and in terms of their behavior. What does the Gemara mean? The Gemara means as follows. There's an old joke about Shlomo HaMelech. Do you know it? Shlomo HaMelech was an author. What did he write? He wrote Mishlei. He wrote Kohelet. And he wrote Shir HaShirim. So the old joke goes like this. I think it's in the Medrash, if I'm not mistaken. When he was young and the world looked great, he wrote Shir HaShirim, a love story, life is great. When he got to middle age, he became smarter, not everything is so great. He became more balanced, that's Mishlei. Mishlei's balanced. And then when he was a grumpy old man, cynical, he wrote Kohelet. Explain my Rebbe Rav Rakefet. A rabbi, a teacher cannot be like that. A teacher to students has to be as excited to teach that same shiur when he's 70 as he was when he was a starting out Rebbe at 26. He has to be as excited about doing mitzvot when he's 40, even though he's done many, many Yom Kippurs by the time he's 40. That's the trait of a malach that a rabbi has to have. A malach does not get old or young. He doesn't have different stages in his life of being grumpy or being optimistic or pessimistic. An angel is and will always be the same. And therefore, when a rabbi teaches Torah, learn Torah from him, the Gemara is saying, not that a rabbi is literally an angel, he's a human being. But a rabbi, when he teaches Torah, has to be as excited about it as if it was the first time he's doing it. He can't give the same shir and say to himself, I gave this shir 20 times. So he sits there and he starts like this. The Gemara says, Rashi says, you got it? Good. Let me go back to it. That he can't do. He has to be as excited about giving the shir the fifth time as he was the first time. And we find this in various places in Chazal regarding mitzvot in general. Can anyone tell me the most famous? We say it every day. Help me out, Bruce. Vayayim shemo tishmo mitzvotai asher anochi mitzaveh etchem hayom. If you listen to the mitzvot that I command you today. Bruce, did God talk to you today? Did God command us the mitzvot today? What are you talking about? Har Sinai was many years ago. We all believe in Maimar Har Sinai. We all believe in Torah Min HaShamayim. Very nice. It wasn't yesterday. It definitely wasn't today. And yet Bruce gets off twice a day, coming before God, lying his face off, saying, Hasher Anochim, Mitzavcha, Mitzavet, Chem Hayom, you taught me today. You didn't teach me today, you taught me years ago. It's in the ancient Chumash. So what does it mean, Hayom? We say it twice a day. What does it mean? Alex, did you say it today? Did you ask yourself this question? Not good. Not good. Torah is a tree of life, very nice, but a tree of life can last for many years. You know, a tree was planted 25 years ago. I still cut off the apricots from it. No? What does Rashi say? You learn Shtayim Mikra Echad Targum every week. What does Rashi say? Asher Anochi Mitzaveh Etchem Hayom. Today. Yafeh. That every day it should be Kechadashim Be'enecha. Kechadashim means like new. Not it is new, but it should be like new. It's very difficult to do that. Same tefillin every day, to get excited every day is very difficult. Matzah every year, Lulav and Esrog every year, Chanukah can't. It's very difficult to live that way. That's what's asked from a rabbi, at least in the realm of teaching Torah. When you teach these mitzvot, you have to be just like when God taught the mitzvot to the Jewish people. Hayom, today. God didn't tell you today, but it was as excited as if you got it today. So too, when a rabbi teaches, he has to make the shir, the class, the lecture, the darsh, the drasha, because it's exciting as if it was the first time he was getting it.
That's an exclusive witnessing man.
Yeah.
A lot extends to teachers, I guess.
Teachers as well. And that's what I think the Gemara means. It doesn't mean a rabbi is an angel. Rabbis are not angels. It means rabbis have to have that angelic, how do you say it in English? Angelic trait of even if you're old and you've said it many times, when you say it again, it has to be as exciting as if you're saying it the first time. And just to give you another Maimar Chazal to buttress it, it says with regard to the menorah, maybe Bruce one day will be Zohar to be the Kohen Gadol, he's from the right tribe. It says every day the Kohen Gadol had to light what? In the Beis HaMikdash, what did he light? And don't say the light bulb. The menorah. So it says in Baal Oscha, you all know the Pasuk, it says Baal Otcha Tanirot, Mupnei HaMenorah, Yair Shivat Tanirot. Aaron has to put up the candles every day. Next pasuk, Vayas Kein Aaron, and Aaron did it. Kasher Tziva Hashem et Moshe, Mupnei HaMenorah. Just like God commanded Moshe. What does Rashi say? Shaloshina. He didn't change. So that's the Sfas Emes, one of the first Gerar Rebbe's. What do you mean Shaloshina? What he can do? God says to do it this way, he's going to do it the opposite way. What is he, a koifer? He's an apikairis, he's a heretic. Of course he did it that way. What is Rashi trying to tell us? So he comes up with the whole shtickl Torah, and he basically comes to the following conclusion. When Aaron did it every day, it was as if he was commanded the first time. He had that same excitement. That's what a rabbi needs. or a Rebbe needs, or a teacher of Torah needs. If the Torah will be a tree of life, as said earlier, then it has to be, Mitch, as exciting as when you first take the first fruits off the tree. You have to have that excitement when you teach. You have to have that excitement when you convey the words of God to the Jewish people. That's what I believe the Gemara means. Yeah?
Yeah, I was going to suggest that when they say angels, like what you're doing, we redefine the roles of angels. And because obviously the humans were not angels, but like angels, what could it mean? That angels are very directed. They are fulfilling the will of God, however way they interpret that. So the rabbis today also, it should look as if they're doing following worthy causes, they're staying honest, they're going above and beyond with the average person who's not a rabbinical person and not a teacher.
See, here is where I have to a bit defer and say that I don't believe in Judaism that a rabbi has to go above and beyond what everyone else is doing. I know there is a feeling out there that rabbis have to be more religious than their communities, or more honest than their communities. I don't necessarily agree. I think if we have to be moral, we all have to be moral, and we all have to be moral.
Well, that's why. Because
here I agree. So that's what I was about to say. The only difference is not in behavior, but the fact that the rabbi has to be aware that he's under a microscope. He's living in a lighthouse. People are looking at him. Versus other laymen that they're less looking at. So any slip of the tongue, anything would be interpreted and reinterpreted perhaps in the wrong way. That I agree with on a factual level, just in terms of a good advice. But if you ask me seriously, in our religion, is there a difference in the behavior of a rabbi, halachic obligations, moral obligations, ethical obligations, and the laymen? My answer is no.
That would extend that.
When you're 13, until you die, you have the same obligations as the rabbi. Other religions don't agree with that. But in Judaism, we have the same obligations. That doesn't change with life.
As an extension, a Jew has to behave the same way. Because a Jew is always under the microscope.
Correct. Also a good piece of advice.
Just to give examples there, when I was new Baal Shuv in the town that I used to live in. So there was a rabbi who was a pretty good athlete. And at the shuls did things like that. They would do fundraisers. They'd organize a Sunday, if you remember that way, a Sunday barbecue with a ball game, and he would participate in the ball game. He was a good athlete. Another rabbi from a different shul, either because he wasn't such a good athlete, or when the shul organized, let's say, a bowl-a-thon, I remember him, and I was part of that, he would say, he can't bowl with us at the bowl-a-thon. It wouldn't be becoming of a rabbi at the bowl-a-thon bowling with the Gila. And as a proof, he said, you see the Rosh Yeshiva, Me'ash Rol, you see him in the pizza place, at the pizza Motzei Shabbat with all the Amta there? No. And even just driving, he might even have a driver of it. So there's a whole mystique in that world of the rabbi not acting exactly like everyone else, as if he was somehow trying to avoid situations where he could, slip up or tell jokes, right? Like anyone, which I thought was unfortunate, yet fortunate. It had him on a pedestal so much, but yet not.
I think there is.
There is a certain balance that's needed, but I don't think that a rabbi has to go ahead and demote himself just because his community is at a very low level. I'll just say it even more cynically. I don't think a rabbi needs to be a lowlife just because he's surrounded by lowlifes. God forbid. I would never say that. But there is a balance, and I think you're bringing up a very good point, and that is that you do represent, for the sake of the community, the Torah, God's word, and you have to act accordingly. I just would say that if it was up to me, I would bowl with people and play basketball with people, if I'm a good athlete, of course. And I don't embarrass myself on the bowling alley. It would be an embarrassment of Torah. Not of me! God forbid. It's an embarrassment of yourself. But no, the truth is that the question is, how do you bowl? How do you act? What do you do? When a ball goes into the gutter, do you do like everyone else and say, this is the end of the world, and you, God forbid, curse and use vulgarity, or do you act differently? And there, that's where I would say, no, go bowl with them and show them you act differently. Now, where do I draw the line? Where halacha draws the line. Halacha sometimes says, there's certain things you can't do. And, even if the people are doing it, you can't do it.
This was family bowling. I think that was the question that wasn't expressed.
Okay. Every rabbi has to make their own decision, but I don't think a rabbi is an angel. I think a rabbi is a human being, but he has to act in that angelic way when he's teaching Torah, and you add it on when he behaves. Absolutely. Yes.
So it can't be like Bueller?
Yes.
I've always seen it as a rabbi can and to some degree, he should lower himself. He'll get a little closer to his people's levels that they can connect, but however, they have to raise themselves up to meet him. Basically, like, for them, it might seem like being more polite. I mean, you know,
well, here's where I'm going to say that they can raise themselves up to meet the rabbi's level if he's on a high level, but the rabbi's
like
doing the same thing.
He
should be raising up himself to be on a higher level as well. We should all be aspiring. So therefore, I don't see a big difference between the rabbi and the flock. The shepherd is trying to elevate himself to become a better Jew, and so is the flock. Could be that the rabbi happens to perfect himself a bit more before he gets to a congregation, so he might be on a higher level. So they'll say, oh, halavai, we should reach the rabbi. I've never heard that, by the way, I have to be honest. But, you know, that would be beautiful, and the rabbi has to say, and I, halavai, I should get to be like this rabbi. I don't buy that idea that it's good my rabbi shomer Shabbos. Or it's good my rabbi, you know, doesn't eat non-kosher food. I don't think Judaism in any which way entertains that possibility. When you're 13, you are as obligated in mitzvot, whether you're called a rabbi, a doctor, a lawyer, a CPA, or whatever you might be. And therefore, I don't accept that there's a difference. And sometimes it goes to the opposite. A rabbi that's been convicted and is in jail because he really fell. And they say, but he's a rabbi, so we have to treat him differently. We can't just say he's a convict. We have to say he's different because he's a rabbi. You know, if he, God forbid, had an illicit relationship, it's not because his Yetzer Hara got into him. It must be for a holy reason. What is this Narishkeit? Where did that come from? I just read this morning in the paper something terrible. Sometimes when you read Facebook, you get heartburn.
It shouldn't be on Facebook.
It says there, guy sent me a link to a Rav with the strimal and the beard, was convicted for rape, spent 16 years in jail.
I saw that.
Then goes to America. When he goes to America, he needs a visa. He thought it'd be a Rebbe in America. So, he puts in his visa. Do you have a criminal record? Nish! The FBI find out that he does have a criminal record. He spent 4 months in jail. Now he comes back to Israel. He wants to be a Rebbe. So, how do you defend this? You have to hear the defense. Again, you put the rabbi not as an angel. You put the rabbi as an angel and you say, well, you have to understand, he doesn't know how to fill out a visa form. When it says, do you have prior convictions? He didn't know what that meant, so he was instructed by these guys to do this and write this down. With due respect, I mean, it's not laughable. It's sad. It's sad. A rabbi is a human being and is as obligated in mitzvot as you are. And if he's a rapist, he's a rapist. And when he comes out of jail after doing his time, we have to ask ourselves, do we accept him to the community? How do we accept him to the community? And we're going to ask that question about the Rebbe, just like we ask that question about the layman. That's a big question. We have to think about it. We have to contemplate it. But what is the... No, because he's a Rebbe, it's okay. He slept with women because of this and that. What is this pilpul? I mean, pilpul on Narishkeit. A rabbi's a human being. He gave in to the Yetzer Hara. He got convicted. He got punished for it. Now he's out of jail. How do we deal with him? Big question. That same question I can ask about any Jew.
You know, we have a neighbor who's taught here from time to time, who has cousins and family members who don't speak English, they're just Yiddish, basically. It's a funny story. So going to America, they asked him flat out, are you in any way connected to terrorism? And he's terrorists. He says, I'm a tourist.
I'm a tourist.
Oh, yeah.
So he thought the word terrorist was
cute.
Tourist. He says, well, I'm one of those. So they held him up at the airport for a long time.
I'm assuming. This is excitement.
Why a guy with a shrimal would admit openly to being a tourist.
So to sum up, gentlemen, rabbis are not angels, but they have to teach Torah as angels. And therefore, I think it's important to remember that. And it's not just rabbis. Your kids will learn the same Gemara. So if you try to say a Dvar Torah at the table, they're going to say, well, my father's not an angel. He screams sometimes, you know. He loses his temper. He sometimes doesn't get up for minyan in the morning. So I don't have to listen to his Divrei Torah. The answer is, I believe that it depends how he gives Divrei Torah. If he gives Divrei Torah, all right, I read somewhere in this book that says like this about Moshe, and he did over there, and he broke the luchos, and all right, and he did over there, and he did like this, and he went like that. Well, when you talk like that, with due respect, the Torah, with due respect, doesn't look interesting. It's boring. But when you say with excitement, then I believe, yes, I'm a human being. Look how I get excited about when I teach Torah.